What's up, everyone? Welcome to a brand new edition of Nerd Thug Radio, broadcasting all over the known universe and winding up in your personal little listening device via podcast or radio. This is Corey DLG, and with me as always, little brother Nico.
That's me.
That is you. And we are, of course, hanging out, doing our thing, ushering in like a really great weekend. A holiday weekend, the 4th of July.
Hooray! Isn't this always a good time? America's birthday.
America's birthday. This is a weird weekend, the way this one's structured. Because a lot of places are going to be open Monday, because it's July 3rd. And then closed Tuesday, because that's July 4th.
Yeah. Shout out to the employers who just said, no, you can take Monday and Tuesday. You the real ones.
Yeah, I'm doing that. I'm using Monday as my off day that week. So I'm strategically scheduling a 4-day weekend.
It's one of those life hacks where it's like, the guy's like, if you take these days off, the national holidays line up so you actually get a lot of extra weekends.
Yeah, I don't remember where it was, but I saw one thing where it was something like how to use 9 personal days to take like 18 days off, and then it was how to use like 14 personal days to get like 30 days off, and it uses all the holidays and the typically offices are closed for the 2 weeks between Christmas and New Year's and blah blah blah. Like it tells you where like if you took a Friday Thursday instead of getting just those 2 days off, you get those two plus the weekend plus the fifth day or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, you're basically doubling up and stacking it specifically so that you're basically just lining up all these like bowling pins.
Kind of, yeah. So I remember seeing that and thinking, like, that's brilliant.
The only thing about that I always wondered is because, like, that was always the gross part about like long breaks from school and work. It's like, going back to it is so much worse. Like, I'm okay with it. This is why I'm a big proponent of the 4-day work week, but I want it to be, like, awkward and have Wednesdays off. I have not stopped preaching this for my entire life. I did it one time, and I was like, I will never go back.
It's like your favorite semester of school, huh?
Yeah, it was the best, because it had 2 days on. I got a break in the middle of the week to catch up stuff, do house things, live a little, and then 2 days on, and then it's the weekend, and I got 2 days off.
You know, maybe. I mean, you might be onto it. I don't know.
Like, it always, like, when I used that as my work week, it was always, like, it's only, like, I only had 2 days of work every week. It feels like it's a billion nano weeks.
So I'm not one of those people who, like, I don't mind Mondays. You know me. I like Mondays. I like to get into it. So I like Mondays. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of people kind of grouch.
There's an orange cat who will very disagree with you.
There's a what?
It's an orange cat that will disagree with you.
Oh, that's true. He did hate Mondays. But, like, I don't know. I was always okay with Mondays. Mondays weren't my thing. Mondays weren't my problem. I think my problem was more, you know, maybe Wednesday would have been, like, the perfect, like, yeah, maybe.
I'm telling you something. Try it one of your work weeks. You'll never go back.
Well, like,
I'll never see you on Wednesday again.
I do kind of do it now. Like, I try to leave Wednesday and Thursday off. Because I work the weekends. I like being there on the weekends right now. I'm still learning everything, so it's worth being there. It's pretty easy, I suppose. I don't know. But I don't really think of my job as hard. Like, I don't wake up going like, oh man, I gotta go to work.
Yeah, that's also fair.
My job's pretty fun. Like, one of the things I did today was make sure I had a fantasy football league filled up. Like, oh no.
What a hard life he lives.
So a bunch of my friends are just in a league with me.
Oh no, the thing we would have done normally otherwise.
Yeah. And whoever wins is going to win store credit. Like, I mean, it's just like, it's a pretty great job.
I don't know, Corey. So, sounds like you're selling it pretty tough.
Yeah, it's hard out there. But yeah, it is 4th of July weekend. There's a lot going on as far as, this is the weird weekend where everyone tells you something's against the law, and then they kind of all expect you to break the law. Yeah. Fireworks.
There are people popping fireworks tonight, right now, as we're recording this on Thursday.
Thursday, June 29th, by the way. Not even July anything.
We're not even in July yet. People are already popping fireworks in my neighborhood.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't really know what to make of that. Like, that's too early.
It's just one of those things where it's like, I think it's just so hot that no one wants to be outside. So, like, they're setting off the fireworks extra.
It's not great, but it's hilarious. There's a video of where they're trying to do, like, one little bottle rocket or something. They're all in the front yard. And the bottle rocket gets stuck in the ground. It doesn't take off. So it just pops everybody. Well, one of the things on it, I guess, hits the big box of fireworks.
Nice, nice.
That are still, like, next to or in the shade of the van in the driveway. And then it just is this crazy explosion of what it looks to be thousands of dollars of fireworks. But it's like one of those home nest videos, so then the video just stops because it's like it's overwhelmed. I can't imagine there's a van left after all of that.
No, I mean, that's usually not a good sign. But also, how cartoonish.
Yeah, like, I mean, literally.
Saturday morning cartoons. Like, oh, better be careful with those fireworks. And they're like, don't worry, we'll be careful as the firework careens into the crate of fireworks exposed to air.
Yeah, it was. It's just.
It's really a DuckTales Looney Tunes moment right here.
It really was. Like, it was really was like just such a silly, silly moment where, like, as it starts going off, you're just going, "Wow, really?"
Because I've seen some really like, because those things get super hot. Like, I still remember, oh, man, what year was it? Where like there was a Walmart had like a really big problem with it because people were setting fireworks off because they were like selling fireworks a year, and like they lit an entire section of the store just burned to a crisp.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's like a whole shelving unit just melted because someone set off fireworks.
You can't. They set them off inside the Walmart?
Yeah, it was like a bunch of firecrackers.
Wow.
And so it just got so hot that like the shelf just like gave out.
And then that's it. It's over.
Yep.
But you know what I really wanted to say there? And I don't know why. I suddenly have no respect for the conspiracy theorists. I remember being a kid and like loving a good conspiracy theory. And
it
now
used to be good.
Now just being like, really? Really?
Well, either really or no duh. Like, did you like know really... that the government does super shady things and is terrible? It's like, yeah, obviously. It's like, oh, that's not interesting anymore.
Well, it's just unbelievable that it does it on any kind of real giant scale and keeps it a secret. That's what's not believable anymore.
Yeah, it's the thing you go, yeah, obviously.
Yeah. But yeah, when you said that the shelves melted and like the Walmart fell apart, I wanted to be like, there you go, 9/11 deniers. There you go. Like,
firecrackers can't melt steel beams.
Nine 11 meets 4th of July.
Yeah, that's the one. That's it.
So.
It's just like 3 months in between those.
So there's been a couple of new releases on Netflix. Netflix really is kind of... they're releasing stuff still at the same pace, but it hasn't been the same kind of...
Hasn't been the huge release that we're used to.
Yeah, like the same caliber of stuff, I suppose. And they did just release Extraction 2 earlier this month. Did you ever see...
Never seen Extraction 1. Nope.
Chris Hemsworth?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Okay.
To be fair, Chris Hemsworth is in a lot of movies that aren't great. Shout out to the one where he's a hacker. The least convincing hacker on the planet.
Black Hat.
Yeah. Terrible movie. Don't watch it. Not worth your time. Actually, unless you want to watch a bad movie, in which case, go for it.
I really like that movie.
Well, Corey, I hate to break it to you, Bad Taste. That movie's not very good.
I really like it. No, I did Black Hat. I think Black Hat was
it's the most okay movie I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, okay, all right. That's fair. It's not anything spectacular.
It's far. Not. Also, Chris Hemsworth is the least convincing hacker on the planet. Because it's this super jacked dude, and you're supposed to convince me that he's some kind of computer nerd.
But you miss that part. He becomes super jacked because he's been in prison for like 8 years.
Yeah, but you don't look like Chris Hemsworth when you come out of prison. You look a little worse.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. But there's plenty of women who will tell you otherwise, that they fall for these handsome inmates, and that's why they keep picking the wrong ones.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't look like that. I'm just saying that the likelihood that you were doing that and also some sort of, like, super hacker and, like, government agent guy. I'm saying that the bricks aren't lining up to be, like...
So what you're saying believable. Is that you believe the stereotypes about hackers.
It's not that I don't believe the stereotypes of hackers, is that hackers look like that and it's not a stereotype.
You hear that, hacker? No, I'm not going to do that to you.
Nah, just destroy me on the internet. They don't care about me. What do I have? I have $200. I have $100 to my name. What are they going to take from me?
Yeah, and also you're not really on the internet that much.
Yeah. Like his last post was in 2012. How are we going to get to him?
You've been a real help. Thanks. I appreciate it.
No problem. That's what I'm here for. I'm here for bad takes and convincing you that your movies are bad.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I think it's... I can't think of the director's name, but he did Miami Vice, I want to say. And he did a lot of the handy cam stuff with this one, too. I didn't hate it. I enjoyed it. It's kind of interesting... plot to it because of the way that China is involved in it.
China.
The China movie. They're not the bad guy, but they also only help for like a third of the movie because of like the nature of China, which I thought was kind of an intriguing plot development. I thought it was a neat way to do the movie, honestly. Really special. That's a fair point. Anyway, so Extraction, though, I really liked Extraction. So you never saw it at all?
Nope.
Okay. So one thing I really liked about it, first of all, is that it's based in a different place than almost every movie on the planet. It's based in Mumbai.
Oh, fantastic.
So, like, you don't see... There's not a lot of American action movies that get wind up from Mumbai. Now, I'm sure there's a whole... The entire Bollywood film industry probably got mad at me when I said...
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, there's a reason there's a Bollywood and a Hollywood.
Right. But they don't make it over here, right? Like, we don't see a bunch of Mumbai movies. So, it's the city of Mumbai, and he plays... I think the guy's name is Tyler Rake, I think is the guy's name.
Man, the most white man name on the planet.
Well, he plays a white dude.
He's Australian.
He plays the Special Forces troubled man.
I couldn't see this plot line coming.
Well, listen, it's not.
Next, you're going to tell me he's disgruntled with upper command and he's a loose cannon.
No, because he's a mercenary, so he's just for hire. But he's such a wreck that he's for hire for cheap. And essentially there's a war between two drug kingpins in Mumbai, and one of them is operating from in prison and one of them is operating in the city, and the one who's in the city moves to have the other one's son kidnapped. And so Chris Hemsworth is hired because he's cheap to go in and get the son out of being kidnapped. And then when payment isn't delivered and they don't rescue him, then he's stuck in Mumbai with this kid trying to basically, like, the whole city goes on lockdown trying to find him. And he's just in this crazy, intense movie. Really good, though, but, like, tons of, like, you know how a lot of times action sequences, like, the fight steps are, like, 1-2, 1-2, or 1-2-3, 1-2-3. But, like, the choreography takes these quick little breaks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just brutal fight scenes in this movie where, like, they just go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
So more along the lines of the Jackie Chan, like, where the action is, like, actually, like, drawn out and not just a quick cut.
Yeah, long action sequences. I think that's 100% fair. And Extraction 2 comes back with the same idea, where some of these scenes are just... There's a prison riot scene in Extraction 2 where they're just... The camera is on him for, like, a long... I mean, like... I'm fascinated by how they would have choreographed the particulars of this scene, because it feels like a long, continuous one-shot around him of, like, 6 minutes.
That's impressive. That's always nice.
Yeah, like, and they use it in the trailer. They used it in the first trailer for this one, where you're just like, he's punching and getting punched and throwing things, picking stuff up and flipping guys and shooting dudes, but it's all kind of this one long, continuous, chaotic take, where you're just sort of like, for a second, you're just like, man, this is crazy. And that's very early in this movie. There's a lot that happens in this movie. I will say one of the most brutal action movie scenes I've never seen anyone do this to someone else in an action movie before. He makes something rip on the body that I've never seen anyone ever do before.
Oof, that's not a good sign.
The guy's trying to stab him with something. He's got his hand up around the high end of the handle. And so he grabs his hand and he just pulls on it so hard that, like, the hand opens up down the middle.
Ugh.
And for a second, like, you don't understand what you're seeing, because I've never seen it before.
That's so gross. Ugh. Ugh.
It's there's always kind of that element in action movies where, like, how do we do something no one's ever done before?
Right.
There'll be a minute before anyone tops that.
Yeah. And here I thought John Wick killing a guy with a book was impressive.
True. And that was an NBA player he killed with a book. That was Boban.
Yeah, he's in the Goldfish commercial, I think.
Yeah, because he gives you a Boban hand of Goldfish.
Yeah. It's a whole bag of Goldfish.
The guy's a giant. But yeah, it was a good movie. It was very interesting. But then from there, it was kind of a quiet week or two for Netflix. However, the first half of season three, I think, of The Witcher.
Oh, is this the one without Henry Cavill?
No, this is the last one with
Henry Cavill. Oh, this is the last one. Okay.
And right now they're talking about how Liam Hemsworth is trying to get as big as possible to match Henry Cavill. I saw an article the other day talking about he's bulking up big time to, like,
because the size. Liam is the thinner of the two.
Yeah, Liam is the non-Thor of the two of them.
Yeah.
He's about to Thor it up.
He's got to. He's got to get... Henry Cavill's gigantic for no reason at all.
Well, I mean, he is Superman. Superman's a big guy.
That is true. They keep doing it to him. Unless they're not.
No, they actually just announced they cast Superman and Lois Lane. And Superman isn't a guy I recognize, so I don't know who it was.
Classic.
But Lois Lane is the girl from Westworld. She's the one who's kind of known that she was in a relationship with Marilyn Manson.
Interesting.
Can't think of her name.
Well, she's Lois Lane now.
She's Lois Lane now. But they just announced that James Gunn has decided that is the Superman and Lois Lane. I don't know. I don't have anything negative to say about James Gunn doing this stuff. I think James Gunn's made great movies, so I'm kind of excited for that.
I don't know. I've always been heavily on the side of James Gunn, although I'm gonna have to say his opinions on the Flash movie looking a bit suspect.
Have you seen it, though?
Not yet, but I've seen clips of it. It does not look great. And I got to be honest, I'm not very interested in seeing it because I can't wait to go see Spider-Man for the third time in theater.
Okay, so there is essentially this weird war or rivalry. You're either pro-Flash or Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Those are really the only two options.
I don't think that's even a fair comparison.
Well, it's not at this point. Spider-Verse is just murdering Flash at this point. So there's really no getting around it.
I'm just going to say this as a preface. Across the Spider-Verse. I said into. That's the first one.
Yeah, that is the first one.
Spider-Verse 2 has got to be hands down one of the most impressive movies I have ever seen, period.
Okay, now let me ask you this, though.
Why would you ever release The Flash anywhere in proximity of this movie?
Because they thought they had a monster, man. They really did think they have a... I really do believe they thought they had a monster. I don't think there's any getting around that.
Oh, man.
I think they really thought that they had... I think they thought that the Flash movie that they had made was going to be, like, all-time superhero competitive.
Do you think? Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Well, there you go. The two people who run a nerd show haven't seen The Flash.
I haven't, and I want to, and I will at some point. I've kind of started looking to see, like, is it on the streamers yet?
Can I not watch this in theaters? Can I not spend $30 to watch it once?
Like, that's kind of where I'm at on it, is that I don't want to spend the $30 to see it. But I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
Across the Spider-Verse exists. Like, I.
They thought they had a bang, though. They thought they had a monster, and they didn't.
And it, like, they put all of this year's eggs, all of last year's eggs, all of the eggs for the past 10 years in this movie, because they really did think they had the best movie ever.
But have you seen, like, the blame tree that people have been creating so that they don't have to? Just admit
I haven't seen the blame tree, but I've also seen like the Flash. The Flash has gotten made fun of so hard on the internet now. I've seen people being like, "Man, I can't believe this scene from Marvel's Eternals is better than the Flash movie." And it's like, dog, no one even liked the Eternals movie. Are you kidding?
But I think I said at the time on this show that fight they had at the end of Eternals was one of the best fights I've seen in a while.
Yeah, you did. You spoke highly of the Eternals movie, and so does Zach. Zach was telling me about it too. He's like, I actually really liked the movie, and I was like, I'm honestly surprised because like it feels so set up.
It is. Listen, for something that is super corporate set up, something that is meant to, like, this is Marvel hardcore pivoting away. Like, this is all those things 100% accurately. You're right. They got a lot of, like, first of all, they cast a lot of big names. That movie's probably the most talented pre-movie cast that they've ever had.
Yeah.
Like, all of the Eternals are big name stars.
That is true.
And then on top of all of that, when you look at them and what they did in the movie, the fight scene between the Eternals at the end after the big twist and everything, it showed super speed cooler than any, because it showed how super speed could kind of fight a Superman for a few minutes. Not a whole fight, but like for a couple minutes could get the better of a Superman. And I thought that was cool. But yeah, the Flash, I don't know, man. Like, they just, I don't know. I'm trying to be nice about
it. The thing that boggles my mind is that people are like, man, these effects are terrible. And they're like, what is these PS2 graphics? And to me, it's like, so you're telling me the movie wasn't done, but it's been in production for like 6+ years, 7+ years?
Right. Yeah, no, think about that. So it's been in production in some form or another that whole time. But they probably didn't give it to the VFX people until like this last year when they knew for sure they were releasing it. Why spend the money if the movie's not going to come out? You know what I mean? Like, so they probably still managed to somehow rush a movie that they've been working on for 6 years.
Yeah, insane. Absolutely insane. And to put it next to a movie that clearly people have been working on it for 6 years in the same, like, within the 2 weeks of it, Cross the Spider-Verse. If you haven't seen this movie, please, please, please make all the efforts you can to see this movie in theaters.
Yeah, it's totally worth seeing. It really is. It got me a little misty-eyed a couple times.
Like, you literally called me at, like, 1 a.m.
Dude.
You got out of the theater and you were like, bro. You're like, that was a movie. That was the whole conversation.
Yeah. I was like, that's a movie. It was a movie. It's a good, good movie. It just really is. Also, the twist towards the end. I don't think the big reveal at the very, very end is that big of a twist. I think that was a great reveal. I don't think it was really all that surprising.
It blew my mind, Corey. I was flabbergasted.
So I kind of always felt like I sort of think that the story of Miles Morales. Okay, the movie's been in theaters a month now. I think I'm
2 weeks. Don't spoil it.
You really don't want me to say?
I don't want you to say it because I have people waiting to see it with me again.
Okay. All right. So I feel like the arc of Miles Morales is that arc, that he was going to go down that path with his uncle, and it was the bite of the spider that changes his arc. I think that's what makes him different than Peter Parker. I think Peter Parker was always a good person who gets the opportunity to do more good. I think Miles Morales was somebody who was doomed by circumstance, and the bite saves his life.
I can see that.
So to me, I think it's what makes them different, Spider-Man anyway.
That is true. Also, going back and watching, because my mom hadn't seen Into the Spider-Verse, the very first one.
I can watch that all day, dude.
We sat down and watched it together, and she was like, that was fantastic. And I was like, wait till you see the next one. But also, like, seeing all the different calling cards, like, because it's been a while since I'd seen it. So I was like, this will be a good refresher. And like so many different things get carried over. There's so many like little tiny jokes that make it from like Across into the new one. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
This, as great as this movie is by itself, if you watch them in order, it's incredible. It pays off so much.
Yeah, it really does. I'm sure it does, because there were a lot of times, there were a lot of stuff that felt familiar. Also, apparently, there's different versions of this movie in theaters.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I think it's cool. I think it's interesting. Because it's not, like, major differences. Like, the differences are incredibly small.
But at that point, it almost feels like, why do it? Like, if you're not going to drastic, like, what if, like, to me, if I was going to do different versions...
Two different endings, lose your mind.
No, or drastically change the cast of characters I use.
So, like, I mean, at that point, you're making two different movies, though.
Just swap them out. So instead of it being Spider-Woman, it's like anywhere you use Spider-Woman, Jessica Drew, swap it with Scarlet Spider.
I don't know. Either way, movies
are incredible. That's what I would do. Like, if I were making, I would make just slight changes to the movie.
Who is it now? We can all rely on the best boy of the entire series, Lego Spider-Man.
It was such a like fun moment, and then you told me the story, and I loved it even more.
Yeah,
I just for those who don't know, he. When the first Spider-Verse trailer hit, wow, probably 8 years ago now, 6 years ago?
Yeah, something insanely long time ago.
This kid went through and made a Lego version of the entire Spider-Verse trailer. So the Spider-Verse people were like, that's amazing. We got to find that guy. We got to hire him. He should be working for us. Well, they find him, and it turns out it's a 14-year-old kid. And so they still, though, came to him and said, hey, do you want to do a little mini scene in Across the Spider-Verse? And so, sure enough, he does. It's great. It's just so funny. My favorite part, though, is he still makes the computer noises on the wristband.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes boop boop, and he's like, "All right, doing this thing," and he does all the sound effects. Like, if you listen really close, he makes like the camera shutter noise when he's taking the photos. Like, all the sound effects are people making the sound effects.
I mean, how can you not be excited for that?
It's really good. It's super funny, and then Miguel is like, "You're one of our best."
There's so many little things in the movie that are cool, like Donald Glover sitting in one of the trapped things, dressed as the Prowler.
They have the Insomniac Spider-Man from the video game, like, is like a specifically named that version of Spider-Man's in the movie.
Yeah, I think that's cool. There's just so much fun to be had with this kind of idea.
And it's visually so impressive, and like, all the different art styles of the different Spider-Man, because it's not consistent.
Right.
It's insane. It really pushed the boundaries of what you could do in an animated film like this.
Yeah, it really did. And then his big moment where he escapes. It was so good.
It's incredible. Legitimately one of the coolest, like, just neatest films ever. And it's long, and you're entrenched in it. It, like, honestly, like, when the only thing you have to be warned by, it does end in a cliffhanger. If you're get upset about that,
too bad. I totally forgot there was going to be a third movie until it ended, and I went, oh man,
because you're sitting here in this movie, you're like, man, so much has happened. How are they going to wrap this all up? The answer is they don't.
Yeah, because I really was like, oh man, he's got to go save his dad any second now, and then I was like, how long, like. Because I didn't realize it had been 2 full hours at that point. Like,
again, after watching Spider-Verse, I then understand, all right, this is how you get someone to watch it. This is how you make a 4-hour movie, Snyder.
Yeah, absolutely. Because this movie doesn't drag.
This movie does not drag. This has no slow-mo. This is all fast motion.
Also, I think it's fascinating to watch Gwen Stacy be in the band with, like, all of Peter Parker's love interests.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
I thought that's great.
The intro is so good. Oh, my gosh. I can't stop gushing about this movie. It's literally incredible.
Yeah, I just... There's a massive difference between the two movies. There really is.
There's this crazy passion project of love, care, and affirmation, and then there's The Flash, which exists. Which, to be fair, is more than I gave it credit. I've gone on record saying that this movie was never going to come out.
That is fair. You did say that.
And to be fair, it is Schrodinger's movie, because I haven't seen it yet. So who knows? This movie not might exist until I watch it.
It exists.
Only in the machinations of people's minds.
Not
and also the physical world. I guess that exists too.
It exists in a bad way in the physical world, that's for sure.
Yeah, unfortunate.
Yeah, so there's a massive difference between the two movies, but there always winds up being like DC always winds up looking like the team who can't shoot straight.
And it's funny because when they don't have competition and they just say, whatever, you can do whatever you want, they absolutely, like, slam dunk it. And you're like, what? When? Where was this the whole time?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I still think their better movies have been the 2 Suicide Squads and the animated stuff. And it's like, that's the stuff when no one's looking, right?
Yeah. Whoever's in charge of WB Animated or DC Animated, like, keep doing what you're doing, dog. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Correction. Keep making new stuff, because your adaptations aren't particularly good.
Yeah, the adaptations aren't great. That's fair. They definitely... there's a lot to it. And I think probably the thing that's hurt it the most is this hiring of this Zaslav guy for the HBO. I mean, just weird change after weird change after weird change. Now, I don't think they're going to make a new season of Young Justice.
What? That was the best thing you guys had.
I don't know, man.
Sold an entire application for like 2 years.
It really did.
That and Harley Quinn.
That and Harley Quinn. The announcement of this and then the debut of the Harley Quinn comedy, adult comedy, was what launched the app. And now he's just totally moved away from them.
I know what they say, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Like, why do we have these things? Like, it's just like, yeah. Like, these things are great.
Character, man. I don't know. I don't know what his plan is. I don't get it.
I don't understand. Just cancel every good movie you've ever made. Like, just crash the company. It's fine. We don't need it.
Well, and somebody was like, okay, so one of the things they got rid of was Batgirl. And so there's this clip of Batgirl running that somehow has leaked on the internet. And I think it's, like, in between takes. I think it's her running back to position one or something.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was like, it doesn't, you know, it's whatever. It's a costume. Like, it doesn't look right necessarily off frame. You know what I mean? It's not supposed to. But people were like, does this look anything at all like what Batman looks like running? But then I started thinking about it. I was like, I don't think in the Batman, Robert Pattinson runs one time.
I don't think in any of the Batman runs ever.
Because he can't, because the suits are so clunky. In the first one, Michael Keaton couldn't turn left.
Yeah, like really bold of us to assume that, like, oh no, this person can't do things that a person can't normally do. I can't believe it. It's, like, right. Yeah, it's called a movie, dog. They normally can't do that at all.
Yeah. Like, there's a quote from Michael Keaton in the first Batman where him and Tim Burton are talking, and Michael Keaton was like, yeah, I think Batman's going to be really, really stoic because I can't turn my head.
Yeah. Precisely.
And Tim Burton was like, okay, we can work with that. Like,
he has to be really stoic. Why? I can't move my neck at all.
There is no left-right whatsoever.
I'm looking forward at all times. My head is locked in. It's going to look real awkward when I have to, like lean, hunch over to look in a direction.
Well, even
that's not intimidating.
Yeah. So even in the second Batman with Christian Bale and Christopher Nolan.
He doesn't run in those.
He what?
He doesn't run in them.
He doesn't run. No, he doesn't run. But even then, he's asking for, like, a suit where he can turn left or right, like, his body, because he got attacked by the dogs, remember? And he couldn't fight them off because he couldn't twist.
Yeah.
And he and Lucius Fox was like, oh, you'd like to be able to move, huh? And he's like, kind of.
He's like, oh, you didn't think about that, huh?
And that is the truth. Like, the way they built those suits, yeah, there was no mobility in them. But there were nipples on them.
There was. Couldn't stop us.
What's funnier is that I think there were nipples on the Batman and Robin suit, but not the Batgirl suit, because that would be inappropriate.
Yeah, that's weird. Don't do that.
We have a lot to learn about anatomy, I feel like.
I don't know.
How did that happen?
To be fair, it makes me uncomfortable either way. So
if Batman shows up with nipples, I am gonna look at him. I feel like if I'm fighting Batman and he has nipples on his costume,
yeah, it's still weird. Like, I don't see that.
Yeah,
that away.
Why are there nipples? What's going on here?
I thought we wear clothes. Like, are you so tight that they show through, or did you put those on there purposely?
Yeah, did you sculpt nipples on the outside of your armor? What's happening here?
Why would you do that?
Oh, man. Yeah, I, you know, they meant well, but I definitely think this era goes to Marvel. And this is Marvel's weakest era.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, this whole, like, oh, gotta be competitive, got it. Like, guys, you weren't competitive when we were good, and you're not even competitive when we're bad. This is not a good look for you.
Right. This should have been...
Yeah. If this was going to be a time for DC movies to, like, just erupt and just be the comic book movies, it was now. And they can't even compete with G-list Marvel.
Yeah, Marvel put out some of its, like, I mean, think about it. There was a Black Panther movie with no Black Panther in it. Sad movie. Very sad movie, though.
Eternals. That was the finale. That was the big movie of the phase.
That was the big wrap-up movie. Yeah, Eternals, which a lot of people didn't want to see. Doctor Strange 2 does have the Illuminati in it, which is cool.
They'll die in it also.
You know what, though? Really, like, okay, in some way, both movies deal with the multiverse. And honestly, like, the way Marvel does it is just better. I just don't getting around it. Like, it's just a better version. Like, I see people poop all over, like, oh, Thor was too funny. Like, what? First of all, it had some really touching moments in it. But secondly, like, are we not supposed to have fun at the movies anymore? Like, I don't understand. Like,
no fun allowed. Everything must be super hardcore serious, even though none of the movies have been hardcore serious. Did we forget the opening to Iron Man 2 where he shows up with a bunch of models with our Iron Man gloves?
I think Iron Man 2 is probably one of the better ones because I think it touches on the most human Iron Man stories where, like, his intelligence can't save him.
Right.
And then his dad has to bail him out from the grave.
Oof. Tough.
But, like, yeah, I just, you know, this should have been Marvel's, like, weakest set of movies. And DC was releasing really kind of their wave two, right? So this should have been their big shot. And instead,
that's not how it went. Only misses.
That's not how it went.
It just goes to show you, don't try to emulate what already works. Just do your own thing.
Yeah, just be true to yourself. I think that's exactly what it says. If you're just true to yourself, you'll be in a much better spot.
Man, when DC is not trying to be like Marvel, they are great. When they try and be like Marvel, they are unwatchably bad.
I think that's a lot of it. I do think that's a lot of it.
That's why I'm excited about James Gunn, because he took Suicide Squad in a very different direction. And
yeah, it really did. And he kind of delivered something different. And even the Peacemaker show was way different.
And people love that. People, like, I saw more about Peacemaker and, like, Doom Patrol and DC being its own thing than any of the big blockbuster movies. I didn't hear a peep about Wonder Woman 1984. I don't even know what the plot line of that movie is.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to go back and rewatch it, because I watched it over Christmas with fam. I never really sat down and watched it. Somebody the other day was pooping all over that one, too, talking about how, like, oh, when Patty Jenkins was operating in the Zack Snyderverse, she was a much better director. And I was like, I don't think Patty Jenkins needs anybody to be a good director. Like,
yeah. And also, the first Wonder Woman was, like, genuinely a really good movie.
Yeah, it really was. That trench was the best part. No man can cross this. And she says, I am no man.
Right. And
takes off the coat, and there's Wonder Woman in all her wonder glory.
Like,
in the No Man's Land.
Right. And, like, a Wonder Woman set in the mid-80s, like, peak mid-80s style would have been, like, a slam dunk and a half, but somehow it wasn't.
Well, I think that I really think that the COVID is being overlooked on that one.
I mean, no, that's true, but I'm saying that, like, there's things that released during COVID that also became darlings. It's just that it wasn't what was normally big.
Well, I think all the big stuff missed, though. I think the big stuff needs theaters. Because, like, yeah. Dune, I feel like, missed. Wonder Woman missed. Shazam. I think a lot of the big stuff.
A lot of people I heard liked Shazam, but they weren't like, man, Shazam is one of the best movies. You gotta go watch it. They were like, I saw Shazam. It was pretty good.
Yeah, Birds of Prey was what I was trying to say.
I did watch Birds of Prey.
I liked it, but, like, I don't...
I liked it. Very, very middling. Yeah, and also, if you don't like Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn, you will not like the film. It is a Harley Quinn movie through and through.
Yeah, absolutely. Although that scene with her on the sandwich is hilarious.
That is a very funny scene. I will give that scene credit. And also, I'd like, again, if you like the character of Harley Quinn, you will like that movie. But if you don't, if you think that character is insufferable, you will hate this movie. Very easy.
That's true. Yeah, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, I just feel like I don't know. We can move off of this because I don't want to just only poop on DC movies this whole time. But
again, there's good ones, but they got to try harder. And I'm really excited because again, this is the few times we say I'm excited about the future.
Yeah, I'm definitely intrigued by what it's going to look like, what they're going to do.
We are no longer being held down by Zack Snyder and his weird verse that started 19 years ago. We are now opening a new page for people to complain about. I can't wait.
And complain they shall, I'm sure.
Yeah. Can't wait for the James Gunn haters to be like, man, this wouldn't have happened in the Snyderverse. And it's like, I can't wait for you to not talk about this movie once in your life. I don't know why Zack Snyder makes me so uncomfortably upset.
I think it's because just how weird his fans are.
Like, weirdly dedicated to such middling films.
Yeah, and they really are. But I think that's the issue.
I don't know. I think it really bothers me that he's not a true fan of the things that he adapts, and that makes me upset for some reason.
Ooh, you're questioning his fandom?
100%.
I don't know about that.
They handed him the Watchmen. They handed it to him. It wasn't that he was like, I want to do this because no one's ever done it. They're like, can you do the Watchmen? He was like, sure.
That's not true. He wanted to do the Watchmen. Matter of fact, that's how...
I thought they gave it to him because someone else was doing it and they're like, I don't want to do this anymore. They sped it up.
No. He did... They told him the Watchmen was unshootable, but he had finished 300, and 300 had been so good for them that they basically were like, well, what do you want to do? And he was like, I want to do Watchmen. And they told him, nah, we don't really think that's a shootable movie. And he's like, no, I really think it can be. And he went and did the test pilot where, like, he did 5 or 10 minutes of footage with the Rorschach mask moving while it, like, talked and stuff. And then that, like, basically, it was, I think he posted to his Twitter as he gave it to the studio. So, like, everybody was like, okay, yeah, he could definitely make Watchmen. And then when he did that, the guy who got the job as Rorschach, the redheaded dude, he's like a child actor. I don't know what he's from.
That's right. Evil Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, I don't remember. I really don't remember what he's from, but basically... He was like, I really want to be Rorschach, which is a weird thing to say if you really like Rorschach's character.
Yeah, no, that's definitely uncomfortable.
But he then filmed like this 5-minute like monologue, like the prison scene monologue. He did the audio for it like under the Rorschach mask. And with the red hair, he did look very much like what they drew Rorschach to look like. And so, like, Snyder was like, yeah, you're the guy. And so, no, he definitely wanted Watchmen. Now, I don't know how much of a fan he is of it. I really don't know that. But I know he wanted Watchmen.
Like, he broke my heart when Batman versus Superman, like, all those interviews where he's like, it's a guy with a bat on his chest. It's like, you're missing the whole thing, dog.
Yeah, you really are. When he started saying that, like, where he's deconstructing the myths a little too much.
You're taking this one step way too literal, dog.
Yeah, I did have a problem with that.
The guy with a big S on his chest talking to a dude with a big bat on his chest. It's like, okay, we're just going to ignore all of the... Okay, it's fine.
Yeah. Now, did he want the Watchmen because it was unshootable or because he was a fan? I don't know. I have no idea.
They told him he couldn't do it, so he did it anyways.
Yeah, and that might have been the case. But yeah, I definitely think that might have been part of it. And I liked the Watchmen movie. He lost me at Batman vs. Superman. Man of Steel, I don't like the decision there to kill Zod. I thought that was kind of a weak ending.
Pranked. You know what they mean? You know what they say about Superman? He just killed all his opponents because it's easier.
Superman doesn't do the hardest thing possible to like save lives, and then also when he's holding Zod's head and Zod's shooting the laser beams, like as though Zod can't just look right while his head is being held stationary. Like I don't understand.
No, you understand. The force of the laser keeps his eyeballs like straight. In place. Yeah, that's how that works. It's not laser vision, it's beams coming from your eyes.
Well, those beams should have been able to move right.
No, that's fair. And I like how that, like, I think he doesn't do it. No, because he always turns his head when he shoots the lasers.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if he's moving it. But I think that's like a movie thing.
I do, too. It's like telepathy in a movie where they have to touch their head every time they shoot.
They have to put the hand up and then put their fingers on their head. Boop, 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 boop. And they gotta, like... And then if they really want to sell it, they gotta put the little special effects wavies.
Yeah.
Around their hands. Yeah. So you know that that's them affecting it. As if them doing the motion.
And then they have to like, zoom into their head and cut to the head of the other actor they're talking to.
Right.
So that you know it's brainwaves and not out loud.
Right.
I hate that. Even though
you... just the most... Like, I get it's to convey information, but also you chose the most frustrating way to do it.
As though no one will ever understand telepathy again now.
Yeah, I liked it when like the X-Men, like the later X-Men, like after First Class, where they just started using like Xavier's just normal voice in a different character. Like a character will be talking, and then you'll hear Xavier's voice, and like, oh, he's talking to him through his mind. Like they didn't have to do like the 9-step process of
yeah,
like,
they didn't have to shoot Xavier. He's talking to him with his
mind.
Yeah, hang on, Professor's reaching out to me telepathically.
And they put their hands on their head, they look into the distance. And then another character starts talking, and it's like, well, how do you know they're not in the same room? And they're like, oh, there's a traveling shot of them not in the same room.
I hate so much. It's so
You'll stupid. Never know they're a telepath.
That's so stupid.
Ignore the last 25 million years of information.
As how would you know? Like a voiceover that they react to. Like we're so stupid as viewers that we're like, wait a minute, he didn't touch his head that time.
How do we know he's speaking to him telepathically? He's speaking to him through vibrations through his bones, for all I care. I don't know. He's not a telepath. He speaks through screeching really loud and two rooms over. I don't know. At least we're not doing that anymore.
That's true. So there's a few episodes of Secret Invasion out. I still haven't seen those, but I am excited. I want to let it get a few more out. Okay, so apparently, remember I mentioned and The Weeknd we're going to have a show together.
Yeah, and it turned out to be absolutely as horrible as everyone kind of expected it would be.
So I tried, it gets pretty graphic pretty quick.
Yeah, it's very much. I don't know if you heard the story of why the previous director left or So she left because basically she got a pressure from a bunch of other people saying that like, oh, it's becoming too much towards the female perspective, and so they fired her or she left. I don't remember which one.
Okay.
And it's very clear that this is just The Weeknd and the director's sick fantasy. This is not a good show.
Yeah, that's definitely wow. Oh, that actually makes a lot more sense as to why the show turned out the way it did.
Yeah, but it's not good.
But anyway, apparently the whole world thought this was 6 episodes, and the people who were internally part of it were like, it's only 5 episodes. And apparently everywhere was saying it was 6. So the ending last week was apparently a huge shock to everybody.
Pranked, I guess.
I don't know what to say, like, because I don't know how it ends yet. I mean, I guess it would be like a huge shock because there are going to be 6 episodes, and at the end of this one, they murder someone, and you're like, oh, I guess it's over.
That is fair.
But, that show wound up, like, I watched the first episode, and I was like, man, this is really, they're really going for it.
If you think Euphoria, the director's previous show, was gratuitous, this is obscene.
Yeah. No, it really is. I guess watch at your own peril.
Just don't involve yourself into it. It's not worth it. It's weird. This is one of those shows that definitely crosses the line of like, all right, we're now, this is now too much. And it's funny because it wants to be a show that's like talks about exploitation, and then it just is
an exploitative show.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird how that worked out.
Like, all right. It doesn't even try to have tact. That's the worst part.
Well, no, because like they had an intimacy coordinator on set.
But the entire point is them trashing and dogging the intimacy coordinator.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. So in the opening scene, she's like doing a photo shoot for something. And at one point, she like opens her robe and you can see her boobs. Well, the intimacy coordinator that's on the photo shoot starts going like, oh, you can show this, but you can't show that. You can't show this, you can't show that. There's too much areola showing. Like, they're starting to try and like really navigate it. And they just kick them off set.
that's what they did with the actual intimacy coordinator, I feel like, for this program.
Yeah, no joke.
They were like, we can't do this. Like, people are gonna get weird and uncomfortable. They're like, I want to do it. And they're like, okay.
All right, guys. This is gonna wrap up another edition of Nerd Thug Radio. Thank you everybody for hanging out. Have a great and safe 4th of July weekend. Enjoy your friends, enjoy your family, enjoy your barbecue, your hot dogs, your fireworks. Do the darn thing. As always, you can hang out with me at The Adventure on Whatnot. We are streaming Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays at 6:30. The Adventure is the username on the Whatnot stream. Go in there. We're doing a bunch of dollar auctions for all kinds of crazy items that are definitely worth a lot more than a dollar. It's okay. Don't ask questions. Come hang out with us anytime, and also check out The Adventure Begins, comics, games, and more, or The Stadium, their sports affiliate. And thanks for listening and having a great time hanging out with us. We are Nerd Thug Radio. We'll be back next week.